Energy Spotlight being brought to you by Black Hawk Heating.
Cumulus Broadcasting is proud to present the only show of its kind in the Fox Valley designed to save you money on energy. Welcome to Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight. Here's your host, Bill Schultz.
Welcome and good morning to Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight. I am Bill Schultz, and once again, this week, as in all the weeks that we have, we talk a little bit about how we can save you some money on energy, but also we want to cue you in on our event coming up, our big show coming up in January for the Home and Outdoor Living Show with Answers to Energy. I talked about this last week, that now is the time to get your booth, because I have no doubt about this, is we're going to sell out. We're going to sell out the entire Sunnyview Expo Center. So get your application in if you're a vendor, have come to my events before. And on the show today, we have someone who's certainly been there before, Rick McCutcheon of Black Hawk Heating. How you doing, Rick?
Real good. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great. It's been a while since we've talked.
It has.
So why don't we talk a little bit, because you are, I would say, the specialist in geothermal with Black Hawk, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's pretty much all I do.
Now, when you are involved in getting people into geothermal, is it an education process right from the start? Do people say, I'm interested in geothermal, I'm not sure if it's right for me, tell me about it? Or do people already know, yes, I want geothermal, come and let's install it?
It's a fair share of both now.
Okay.
Things have changed over the years. If you asked me that question 10 years ago, 100% education. A lot of the customers still, you know, they want to be educated, and I love to educate them. So it's a fair share of both. But now, again, because it's been around for quite a bit longer, a lot more people have it. Some people just come in, they know they want it, they know it's going to save them money, they know it's going to be a better system, not only for their pocketbook, but for long term. And it's good for the earth.
And I think what's great about geothermal, too, is you're not a slave to the escalating prices of fuel. You just never know. Every year, it just seems like it's a roll of the dice as to how much you're going to be paying for fuel. And that can really ruin somebody's budget.
Oh, absolutely. And it has. Yeah. As you saw, you know, everybody felt that crunch, you know, 3 years ago with the fuel prices, how it just skyrocketed. This year, we experienced very low fuel prices, but now we're actually seeing an increase again right now, currently.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know where it's going to go. I don't know if anybody does, but one thing is certain, I'm pretty sure it's not going to go down.
But yeah, no. But with geothermal, correct me if I'm wrong, but your budget is basically consistent throughout the year, right? There is no increases. It's an electric bill.
Right. Yeah. So the only thing that would increase your budget, so to speak, if the electric rates do go up, of course, then your heating bill goes up. However, it's a lot more constant. If you look at electric prices over the last 20, 30 years, it has increased. But it doesn't spike the way fuel does.
Yeah.
It's much less volatile, and that's because it's controlled.
And what do you say to the people? This has been a talk about geothermal for a long period of time. Is okay, we're not saving we're not using the propane or the oil anymore. We've converted, but your electric bill, because it's always running, is going to spike, and there's really no difference because of the high electric bill.
Right, and that is just a false statement.
Okay.
Yes, your electric bill does go up, but the idea is it does not go up as much as the fossil fuel cost would have been. And it's still a legitimate 50% savings over a 12-month period, even mm-hmm. at these lower prices, depending, again, on what we compare to. And that's the true catch, and that is part of the education process, is what are we comparing the geothermal system to? What would you normally be burning for a fossil fuel? Is it oil, LP gas, natural gas? All of those fossil fuels have a different price point to them. So, of course, it differs depending on what you're using.
So do you do a different assessment with each customer to say, okay, what have you used in the past? What are you using now based on your home square footage, your environment, your usage, your family, all those kind of things? Does that factor in?
Yes, it has to. Yeah. Because I could go into the exact same house. If one house is burning LP gas, the other house is using natural gas, there is going to be a different saving because typically natural gas is a little less expensive than LP gas. So, yeah, every single job is different. It is specific. And when I'm doing my cost comparisons, it is based on that home's usage.
Mm-hmm. And who is there a customer who it's best for? I mean, can you take a snapshot and say you're an ideal geothermal customer?
Ideal. If you are burning fuel oil or LP gas, ideal. Or if you're building, ideal. Okay. Because of that 30% tax credit, which we still have time. We can still get systems in at the end, you know, before the end of the year, and they can still take advantage of that 30% tax credit, which is a huge, huge advantage. It's 30% off the cost of the installed system.
Let's talk about that, because that was something that was in place for, what, 4, 5, 6 years?
Since 2009, seven years.
7 years, okay. Mm-hmm. So you're getting tax credit, and now that's been cut off. Can you explain why that was cut off? I mean, why didn't I just keep on continuing?
In a short term, it has to do with government.
Okay.
Somebody.
Oh man. Well, you know.
If somebody slipped in at the 11th hour, they were going in to sign the bill, and it was solar, geothermal, and wind. All renewable energy sources were supposed to continue to get this 30% tax credit, but somebody struck out geothermal literally as it was going through the door to get signed.
Really?
That was the weirdest thing.
You know, it was funny because I was just talking to someone about this the other day, because I used to have, on the show, when we first started this show, I had a lobbyist that would come on with me, and he's been busy, but he lives in Wisconsin, and he would come on, and he was explaining things like that. And it was amazing to me how much back and forth dickering going on and slipping something in, taking something out, just to get it passed.
Right. Yeah, you do this for me, I'll do that for you. And that's really what it came down to.
Okay. But as long, and I'll explain the tax credit is good till December 31st. So you not only have to talk with you, you have to have it installed by the 31st.
Correct. It has to be operational.
Has to be operational. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the question is there time?
There is. We still have time. It usually only takes 2 to 3 days to put in a normal geothermal system in an existing home. So there's a lot of days left in the year, and if you wanted to do it, now is the time to call. No doubt about it.
You know, that's surprising. It'd be 2 to 3 days, and you're talking about digging and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep, start to finish. New construction is a little bit different because we're dealing with ductwork and range vents, dryer vents, gas pipe, whatever it might be.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot more days manpower involved with new construction, but an existing home, a normal home, is only 2 to 3 days for an installation, start to finish.
And what is the big change as far as equipment, what's used in the home compared to a conventional furnace right now? What do people have to be so-called prepared for?
From a look in the basement, there is no difference. It looks like a furnace.
Okay.
It's a little bit bigger. Footprint is a tad bit bigger. There's nothing outside of the house, which is a real nice advantage. Landscaping, you don't have to contend with outdoor units, you know, the air conditioners that you usually would see on the outside of a home. Everything is interior. Nothing is visible outside.
Hmm. Okay. And the digging. We talk about digging the loops. What are the options there? How is that done?
We have a couple of different choices for the loop field. We have a horizontal loop field, which we are usually digging a little bit bigger trench. In an average 2,000 square foot home, that hole might be 8 feet wide by 300 feet long. Vertical wells is another option, and there's a lot less disturbance to the soil, the yard, property, whatever. That's where we actually just drill a hole for the geothermal system. We have pond loops that we can install. Which now we only have a little trench to go from the pond to the house, and we sink the pipes in the pond.
In the pond.
And then, of course, we also have an open loop system, which there is no change to. There's nothing done for an open loop exterior of the home.
How does that work, the open loop?
We actually draw water out of a well, the home's well system. Okay. We draw water out, extract the energy from that well water, and then discharge that water.
Okay. Rick McCutcheon with us from Blackhawk Heating. 757-9990 is the number, 757-9990. And again, the tax credit comes to an end on the 31st, so that's one of the reasons why I want to have Rick come in here, talk about that. There is still time to get that done. I had also heard about the tax credit situation, that the whole purpose of this with geothermal was to raise awareness that it is out there, getting people educated, getting people to inquire about it. And it seemed that what I read anyway, that the level of awareness seemed to have reached a level of satisfaction, I don't know if that's the right word, of the geothermal community. Would you agree with that? Or
I don't know if I necessarily do or not. What I felt that what I've heard with the tax credit, it was really to try to get the United States off of the dependence upon fossil fuels. It's better for the it's better for the industry. It's better mm-hmm. For the country.
Yeah.
No off gases, no carbon dioxide. You know, actually installing one geothermal system is like taking 100 and some cars off of the road. That's mm-hmm. that's the equivalency of it because of the emissions.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of opinion, and I don't know if there's one real answer. What I can say is that this works, and I have it in my home, and it's my fuel bills, my electric bills are unbelievably low. Actually in January of last year, I heated my house for $37. I track my geosystem and what it costs. $37 is what I spent.
Wow.
And I don't have a fancy home by any means. It's just a normal house.
Yeah.
So it can be done.
And I think that's another thing that let's take a break and talk about that. But I think people think that, oh, geothermal, because of the price, it's not for me or something. So we'll take a break. We'll talk about that. We're with Blackhawk Heating, Rick McCutcheon. Again, the number 757-9990. We'll be back after this.
Truckin', got my chips cashed in. Keep truckin', like the doodah man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep truckin' home, home, home.
Here's a new question. What in the world ever became of Sweet Jane? She lost her father, you know she isn't the same. Living on red, vitamin C and cocaine. All a friend can say is ain't it a shame.
Trucking up the Buffalo and thinking you got to mellow slow. It takes time to pick a place to go. Just keep trucking on home.
Back with you on Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight. We're being joined today by Rick McCutcheon of Blackhawk Heating in Greenville. But you actually service all over Northeast Wisconsin, right?
We do. We travel up to northern Wisconsin, all the way down to the Illinois border.
You're just saying you did a job in what, Larson? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
The other day?
Yeah.
Okay. When you are, because you go to a lot of the expos and shows like the ones that we do, and you get a lot of questions. What's the number one question that you're asked?
How much is it going to save me, and how much does it cost?
Okay,
pretty simple.
And I think again we're talking here a lot about myths and things along those lines. The cost factor is upfront cost factor is one of those that people shy away. And I think just before the break I was talking about it's too expensive. I can't afford it. How do you deal with that? Because as you said. It really is for everybody. So how do you deal with the upfront costs?
Well, if we are, again, going to compare apples to apples as close as we can possibly get, what I find out is because we do conventional systems also, normal furnaces and air conditioners, if I price out a comparable conventional system to a geothermal unit, it's very rare that it's more than $10,000 to $12,000 more, and that's in new construction. In an existing home, a lot of times, it's not $5,000 to $6,000 more, so it really isn't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I handle it? I show them the numbers. How much is it going to cost if I do one versus the other, comparable as close as we can get to the two systems, And then how much can you possibly save?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I handle it.
Now, did you, when you meet with clients, do you do like a computer printout with comparisons and kind of a proposal type of thing? Is that what happens?
Yes. Yep. Okay. I actually run.
Because you're a numbers guy.
Yeah.
You are a numbers guy.
Like geothermal.
Yeah.
So, what I do is actually figure out what the heat loss of the home is, existing or new construction. And then we have a program that figures out how many heating degree days we have in whichever area that home is. And I just put in the numbers, the heat load, the fuel costs that we're going to compare to, the electric costs that the house currently has or will be using. And then that program says, all right, if you have LP gas, this is how much it's going to cost to heat. If you have geothermal with a particular unit, this is how much it's going to cost to heat. Then it breaks it down into the cooling and also the potable hot water, because the geo units will also do your potable hot water for you. Okay. Or a good portion of it.
Okay. Let's talk about, you were talking about since the tax credit took place in 2009. Talk about the growth of geothermal. Has there, and again, you're a numbers guy, so maybe you've kept track of this. How much, like personally with Blackhawk, or I know you were in a business before you joined Blackhawk, how much each year has geo grown?
It has gone up and down with the spikes of the fuel.
So it's still that
the awareness has grown dramatically,
mm-hmm.
But the number of installations are in direct correlation to the price of the fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. That's what I've seen in the last 12 years, 14 okay. years.
How about new home construction? Has that changed over the years as well?
It has. It actually, that's one area that the geothermal, I believe, has increased drastically in new construction. And again, I'm sure it has a lot to do with the fossil fuels.
Yeah. Well, and I think also with the new construction, you're starting with dirt. You're not reorganizing your yard by putting it in. So to start right from the beginning with geothermal makes a lot of sense.
Right. Yeah. People, you know, I mean, if somebody has a lot of landscaping, they may not want to mess with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which a lot of times we don't have to. We have options where we don't even have to touch the landscaping. We can directional bore underneath it so it never gets disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
So the choices are unlimited, and we can work with just about anything.
Rick McCutcheon, geothermal specialist with Blackhawk Heating with us, 757-9990. You can go to blackhawk.com, also their website, if you want to find out some more information about that too. Another thing, and we're addressing a lot of maybe myths about that, and I remember this almost probably the first time you were on the show with me. I remember bringing this up to you that a lot of people had the feeling that geothermal just cannot work in a place like Wisconsin because it's just too darn cold.
A lot of people thought that. And all the people that have it now, they've changed their opinions. Well, here's a good example. Again, I'm going to use my house. And 2 years ago, we had one of the coldest winters on record.
Mm-hmm.
I have no auxiliary heat in my house, and I never needed it. My wife likes to keep the house at 74 degrees. It was 100% by geothermal for 100% of the winter.
74 degrees.
She likes it warm.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, and that's true because I do. That's another thing. I remember hearing you have geothermal, but you need to have a backup.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a backup.
Right. And I don't want to get into that because technically we still do. And, okay. and a lot of times it is by design. The majority of the time it is.
Okay.
But you do not have to have a gas furnace.
Mm-hmm.
It does it. If I design 100% of the load with geothermal, that's exactly what it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it doesn't make sense because of cost. And that would be the only reason that we would design backup is mm-hmm. because of the additional cost to go with a larger geothermal unit. So that is something that it really needs to be discussed. There's no short answer to that.
Well, the other thing I wanted to address, and I'm going to be delicate talking about this, just because I know the knowledge that you have with geothermal, and I know from talking with you, I mean, I think our first conversation that we ever had was back at the energy show in Custer a while back when I approached you, and I could see the passion, I can hear the passion in your voice, but over that period of time, there has been a lot of businesses that have dabbled in geothermal, and I think that's another thing is that geothermal is not something that you can do on the side. as a business, because that lends itself to problems, I think, with installation. Would you agree with that?
100%. Yeah. And that has been one of the struggles with the people that live and breathe geothermal versus the people that just want to make a buck and right. and sell one or two or three geothermal systems a year. If you don't study it, if you're not down in the trenches and actually looking at the soil conditions, if you don't understand that stuff, it really creates a poor installation, which then in turn creates a poor attitude towards geothermal and guys saying, well, that's why you have to have backup. Well, it's not because the system needs it. It's because it was a poor design.
Right, right. And again, that was one of those things that I remember hearing about when I first got introduced to geo, was that people came up from Southern Illinois, let's say, and came up here and installed it the same way, where the loops were not low enough in the ground and pipes froze because they weren't deep enough because the installation wasn't done correctly.
Right, and it is. It's the installation, and yeah. not even necessarily that they weren't deep enough. Maybe they didn't have the right number of pipes, the amount of feet mm-hmm. in the ground that that was required. I can transfer energy in any soil condition out there, but certain soil conditions will require me to put more pipe in the ground because the energy transfer isn't as high. The thermal conductivity of the soil is not as good. Mm-hmm. If I'm in moisture, you know, wet clay is excellent transfer of energy.
Is it really?
Thermal conductivity is phenomenal for clay. And we have a very good amount of that.
Well, I was just, I mean, it's funny you said that, because I was just thinking that, because I live in Neenah, which is a lot of clay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking that before you came out and said it, that maybe that would not be good. Clay would not be good.
No, it holds so much moisture, and that's the key, is the moisture.
Really?
Water is the best energy transfer there is, and if I have moisture in that soil, I can transfer a lot of energy in it. Dry beach sand, not as good, but all I have to do is just put, you know, extra pipe in the ground, and I can still transfer that energy. I just need a bigger heat exchanger. That's all there is to it.
Well, I hope you're getting a good understanding of how much Rick knows and how much he can help with geothermal. Rick McCutcheon here with Blackhawk Heating, 757-9990. So let's talk about, if someone's interested, want to get it done before the end of the year here, they give you a call. You come out and do what, an assessment?
Exactly. I'll do an assessment of the home. I'll ask a bunch of questions. What is the homeowner trying to gain out of this? I'll look at where we can do a loop field or if it's going to be an open loop. I'll assess the whole entire home. Then I run my load calcs, my heating requirements, design the system based off of their wants and needs. And, of course, I will always offer my opinions on, you know, with whatever. If they have questions, I will answer those questions for them. And if I can't, I know somebody who can. And once I do that, I just put the system numbers together and revisit the home again and go through everything and see how it all works out.
So how long does that that assessment take at a house?
Oh, a good hour to two.
Okay.
On the initial visit. And then usually when I do a return visit, it'll be another hour or two.
No, being one personally, when I do proposals for my clients and things like that, they go, you know, I want to take that out of there. I don't want to do that. I want to cut back. Is that kind of allowed with geothermal? Because it could prevent success with the installation.
I will never design a system that is not going to perform.
Right.
And
okay.
Knock on wood, I have never designed a system that hasn't performed. Of the 400 or 500 systems out there, not one of them has ever been taken out. So, yes, you can add and subtract certain things, because there are variable speed pumps, flow centers, in lieu of non-variable speed pumps. There is a price difference. They will both work. One just costs less in the long run to operate, but it costs more up front to install. You know, things like that, different thermostats, different types of loop fields can change the pricing. Right. If they have a pond, but they like it for swimming and fishing, they don't want to put it in, well, okay, then we'll do a horizontal loop field. It's going to cost a little bit more money, but it's going to still perform.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we can still adapt and change, add and subtract within reason. But I will not design a system that's not going to perform, and I will let them know that.
That's good information. Do you ask for a budget, how much you're looking to spend, or do you just come in and say, this is what a geothermal system will cost, and then we start there.
Sure. I mean, I have ideas, of course, on what it's going to cost to install, and I'll ask a homeowner if they're if they've done any research on it. Do they know roughly how much it's going to cost to install? So I'll ask budgets.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, even if somebody possibly has a budget, and I know that we can't install it for that, but once they see the savings, it a lot of times makes a lot of sense to try to come up with that additional money mm-hmm. because of the savings.
Yeah, no doubt. Rick McCutcheon, as I said, you know, you can tell he knows what he's talking about, and so if you're thinking of geothermal, this is the way to go. Blackhawk Heating, number is 757-9990, and again, takes advantage of the tax credit, ends at the end of the year, but there's still plenty of time, and we can get it done, and weather's not a factor for you guys. You guys are good, right?
We'll dig year round.
You ready to go. Rick, good seeing you. Thanks.
Yeah, you too, Bill. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight. Listen next week as we spotlight another business and show you ways to save hundreds and thousands of dollars on energy. If you would like to be a guest on Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight, please call 230-0801 and speak with Bill Schultz.
Being brought to you by Black Hawk Heating.